Thank you. This is a waived 31412A hearing for Mr. Gordon Groves, ADC number 042972, before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency to consider regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. I would like to introduce the members of the board conducting the hearing today. In the hearing room, you have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright, the Honorable Mr. David Neal, and my name is Louis Jimenez. I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing. I will begin the hearing with the following summary. Mr. Groves is 68 years old. He is currently serving a life sentence for murder in the first degree. According to the Arizona Department of Corrections release eligibility form, he was reverted to his current sentence in 2014 after being granted parole to his next consecutive sentence for murder in the second degree, a prison term which has since expired. Therefore, he has been eligible for parole for the instant offense since January 4, 2006. The crimes of first and second degree murder occurred on or about January 5, 1981. He was approximately 31 years old at the time of said offenses. He was convicted by jury trial on May 14, 1981 and sentenced on June 8, 1981. He appealed his case, the conviction of which was affirmed on August 8, 1985. He had no prior criminal history. I will read a short summary of Mr. Groves' instant offense, which was provided to us by the Yavapai County Attorney's Office. In short, the state opposes parole or any grant of clemency or commutation of sentence for Mr. Groves. The state strongly believes that Mr. Groves should serve the entire balance of the prison terms imposed in this case. Mr. Groves savagely murdered his estranged wife, Linda, who was the mother of young children. Mr. Groves also murdered a beloved local high school teacher, Kim Hopfinger. After shooting Mr. Hopfinger repeatedly, Mr. Groves chased Mr. Hopfinger down and fired a killing shot into the victim's head, and I do apologize for being so graphic. After murdering Mr. Hopfinger, Mr. Groves returned to his wife's home and found her telephoning the sheriff for help. He then shot her four times. Mr. Groves' young children, then aged 18 months and 4 years old, were there at the home at the time their mother was murdered. Mr. Groves has received moderate programming in the Arizona Department of Corrections. According to his progress report, he does not have a release plan. He has a limited history of discipline, but a string of violations in 2014, with his last major on March 6, 2014 for refusing to program. This appears to be Mr. Groves' 14th hearing before the board. He has no letters of support in his parole packet. We do have a victim's representative who is attending this hearing by telephone and numerous letters from other victims' representatives. It should be noted that we also have a letter dated December 5th, 2018 from the Yavapai County Attorney's Office opposing his parole. Now, Ms. Hartley, can you still hear me?
Yes, but it's hard for me to hear you, but I'm doing my very best.
Well, thank you, and we're having to work with a PA system where we do not routinely deal with international phone calls. But I will ask you, is there anything that you wish to add to this hearing at this point?
Yes, there is. First and foremost, I very much appreciate you taking the time to call. I have always been there in person since my parents have passed, since I was 16. One of the times, it had gone so far because I didn't have my name, I actually went to the prison and conducted it. This was the very first time I was 21 when my brother passed, and then he took it have to leave you with, I won't avoid the other three so that you could understand our family's position. Is that he's never shown any remorse whatsoever in the heinous act that he has conducted. When he killed my brother, when he shot my brother the first three times in the driveway, my brother was there offering support to his wife to help babysit. He was going crazy with his 3-year-old. When he called, my brother ended up saying so that he could protect, so he could help Linda. And when he shot my brother 3 times, my brother had not passed. And he went to his truck and he got another rifle, took the scope off of the rifle, took it out of the case, and went back and shot my brother 3 more times. That's when my brother passed. So we went into the house and saw his wife on the phone. And I didn't know this until the last day of work when the district attorney's office came down. But his wife's body, blood clots, flesh, were all over his children. And at the last parole board hearing, he said his children were in the room. And prosecutor stood up and said, I have to disagree with evidence that there should. So he's still today, after all those years, 38 years, has not shown any remorse. His children have contacted my sister and I, trying to understand what caused him to take the action that he has. When they went through the trial, my parents, the judge asked my parents if they believed in the death sentence, and my parents said, no, we don't believe in life. We don't believe in taking a life for another life. But we just want to make sure that he's been given the death sentence. He was given a life sentence. And I realize he comes up for parole, and I'll continue to fight it. In honor not only of my parents, but the loss of Linda and Kim, and all the individuals that he has harmed. And I just appreciate you. I know we hear so many tragedies and so many families that have experienced the loss that we have. We'll continue to fight his prayer because that was the prayer that he was given because of the heinous act that he did. It was premeditated, and he killed 2 individuals, my brother being one, and his wife being another. I would like you to know that when he was in prison, when he was waiting for his hearing, he wrote a note, and somehow it was confiscated in the prison, and he said he was smarter than the average bear, that he would beat the system, and it was confiscated and it was read in the trial. And that just continues to show the character of this individual that we keep talking about. My brother was a stand-up individual. He did so many things. When he was 21, getting ready to go away to university, he worked at the Alaska Pipeline for days on end, and he saved all of his money. And it was supposed to be help my parents with his tuition and his spending money. And when he got back, he found out his church that he was a member of had a building fund, and he dedicated all of his money that he earned at that point in time to give to the fund. And that type of character that he's taken away from us. He had a boy living with him. When he graduated from college, he was given the head baseball coach of Red Star Mountain High. And within a year, he became the athletic director. So he was just, he had a radio talk show, a Christian radio talk show. He was just a really good individual. So many people have missed out on what he could offer to the world because of Gordon's actions. And he didn't even know this individual. My brother's fiance was friends with Linda. I've never met Linda, only when you're always very crying. He perfected the biggest writer, which they have published articles of him. But there's nothing worse. There's nothing in his story that is remorseful. Of taking his mother, his two poor children have had no payments because of his actions. And so I just hope that you continue to reinforce his sentencing and know that we will fight it and appreciate your time and consideration.
Well, thank you, Ms. Hartley. Again, I know it's hard for you to hear through our system today based on the long-distance phone call, but I do hope you were able to hear the summary.
I got it. I do have, I think, a good feel for it.
Okay.
He has declined again?
Yes, this was a waived hearing. He declined to attend.
And is he up for parole again in 6 more months?
Yes, unfortunately, based on the year of the crime, he is entitled to a hearing every 6 months. And in the state of Arizona, if a crime happened after 1984, we only have the mechanism for a 1-year set-off. And the reason why I sound a bit apologetic, it's not something the board has any control over, but we recognize there are other states in the union that have much longer set-off periods, but in Arizona, it's no longer than 1 year that has to be after 1984.
1984, okay, gotcha. Okay. So we'll just continue to find it and be present with you there. I will be there in person, just so that you know, and I just appreciate you taking the time to support our family and the work that we've been doing.
Thank you so much, ma'am, and thank you for what you have offered to the board today. I'm going to ask the Victims Services Coordinator, is there any other information that you feel is necessary to add to the hearing?
No, sir. We actually provided copies of the letters that
okay.
from other victims.
Outstanding. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. This will bring us to the latter end of the hearing. Traditionally, we would ask the inmate if they had a final statement. Mr. Grills has waived this hearing, so I will simply begin the discussion by stating that based on the cold and traumatizing nature of this double murder and the onset of disciplinary infractions after he reverted to his 31-412A parole eligibility for the main offense approximately 4 years ago, I have concerns as to whether Mr. Grills would adhere to the conditions of release, thus raising concerns for public safety. I certainly do not find him a candidate for supervised release, but that's where I begin the discussion.
Okay.
Then I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and that is regarding Mr. Gordon Grills, ADC number 042972. My motion is to deny regular parole, absolute discharge of under arrest, and unfortunately we have no means of a regular set off, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Seconded by the Honorable Mr. Neal, upon by the Honorable Dr. Wright and the Honorable Mr. Johnson. Release type denied. He is, again, regular parole, absolute discharge of home arrest, also known as 412A, 411, or HA. Reasons for denial are as follows. Serious and violent offense, loss of human life, I'm going to say serious and deviant offense, trauma to victim, to include the children, age of victims, based on the children that were left behind, serious bodily injury, multiple victims, poor institutional behavior within the last 5 years, recent disciplinary infractions within the last 5 years, no release plan, and no family or community support. Are there any other reasons that my colleagues wish to add? Okay, then this will bring our hearing to a close. Again, Ms. Hartley, we can really thank you for attending the hearing by telephone today.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much for your time and for all of the services that you do for all the families.
Thank you, ma'am. Well, I know it's very late there, but have a nice evening.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, we're going to disconnect the phones at this time. Thanks again.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
You're the star of technology. Even if you're not having...
Well, yeah, you guys called that same way, Bob.
Yeah, Mark called on. Mark called on.
Why did this keep trying?
I didn't think that was going to be possible, to tell the truth. I just thought the state system would allow for it.
Yeah.
Well, they may have figured out, but when they get the bill, then they'll come back.
Oh, yeah, they'll come back. That may be the last phone call we get.
This is the governor's board, so he gets the bill, right?
Yeah, but he'll maybe go to his office, but he'll never see it.
He'll never see it. We go somewhere else.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you, sir.
Another day.
I'll stay connected.
And if there is any complaint about that phone call, we're big on this, you know, Governor Ducey's office too, but I mean, we're big on victims.
Absolutely.
And I would call the victim.
Not to take the other victims.
That was a pretty clear phone call, though. I mean, you know, I'm yelling, but it was clear.
Agreed. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.